I mean, I'm assuming that at some point you're going to have some good use for this.
Uh-huh.
Also, I think it's very possible that you could call him up and ask him about this stuff, and he will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's being deceptive about it. I think he is slowly approaching the point where he wants to come out and make it a political issue and essentially defy people to put him, the great poet, in jail. People should be in jail. They should be prepared to put him in jail. But I'm not sure about all that. So, I mean, all I can tell you is what happened, and I don't know whether you want me to tell you about it with any of the emotion that I feel, or whether you just want me to give you the facts that...
I think for the tape, just the facts.
Okay.
And don't you think?
Yes, I think that would be better.
Because if we decided to keep the tape... Oh, I'm going to turn it off for that.
Okay.
Okay.
So these conversations began on the day that the Supreme Court decision on the possession of child pornography was announced in the newspapers, which was Saturday, April 21st, in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And the event, the reason that both Allen Ginsberg and I were there, was the bar mitzvah of our godson. He's the godfather, and I'm the godmother, Isaac. And that's why we were there.
And today is May 9th, 1990.
Right. And I had just read about the Supreme Court decision saying that states could criminalize the possession of child pornography in the local Boston newspaper. And I was very happy about it. I went down to the hotel lobby to wait to be picked up to go with other people to the synagogue. And Ginsberg came down. There were maybe 10 other people there, 15 other people. And he was extremely hyper and upset about this decision. And I hadn't seen him in about probably close to 25 years. I had only seen him once in all that time, and we hadn't spoken. So he began talking to me about it. I didn't bring it up with him. And he told me that he was increasingly committed to fighting censorship and that this was a decision of censorship, that he takes such pictures and that he could be put in jail under the law that the Supreme Court had just upheld, and that he likes to take them and he likes to share them. And he was very dismissive. Apparently one part of the law says that you have to have, in order to be prosecuted under this law, more than 3 prints. In other words, if you only have 1 print, that's not actionable. And he was very derisive about that, only 3 prints. In other words, that to him, having 3 prints would be worthless. And he kept saying that they would put him in jail. And I said to him that I would shoot him. And he got very, very upset, and he said, why would you say such a thing to me? How could you say such a thing to me? How is it possible? And I said, what you're saying is that you molest children. And he started to say that they weren't children, that basically that teenage boys were not children, and that he should have a right to do any sex act he wanted with them and that they wanted with him.
Can you try to say pretty much his exact words on that?
I can't really say his exact words. I mean, these are very close to his exact words.
Okay.
He talked very fast. He very intellectually deft. I mean, he began by saying, you know, meanwhile we're moving, you know, into the bar mitzvah, into the synagogue, into the service, into the reception.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is that I tried to end the conversation repeatedly, and that he followed me everywhere I went and insisted on talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I made clear to him from the first time that he brought it up that I was on the other side of this, and that I regarded this as child molestation and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't interested in his justifications for it. And I thought the Supreme Court was right, and I was very happy about the decision. He said to me, he started to say to me, all the stuff that I've told you so far pretty much is in his language. I mean, this dialogue did take place.
Mm-hmm.
That they'd put him in jail. I said I'd shoot him. He got, everything mm-hmm. he said so far
okay. has
been some paraphrase of his language.
Mm-hmm.
He started what I call pedophile logic, but the way that it started was, what about if somebody is 18 years minus 1 month? What about if they're 18 years minus 2 months? I said, stop it. You know, this is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
How old are they, really? You know, what age are you really talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And he changed it when he started saying 18-year-old minus a month, 18-year-old minus 2 months. He changed the subject without saying he was changing the subject to having sex, not to taking photographs. Right.
I know, I've heard it done a lot.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that is the way that it's done.
Sure.
Right? One is not.
That's very good observation.
Right? But nevertheless, of course, I mean, I did notice, and I know what they have to do with each other. So I cut through the logic. I mean, I just stopped him and said, how old? And he basically said to me, 16. And then he said 15 or 16. And then at some later point, he began, still arguing with me, he began using Isaac and Isaac's friends as examples. He said they were men. They are 13, which is the age of Bar Mitzvah. And he said that the Bible said that a boy became a man at the age of 13. Which is also in his Nation article that I sent you. That's how it ends. And I said, what do I care about patriarchal law? It doesn't mean a damn thing to me. I don't care what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I think, I mean, he reacted as if he knew he had made a political mistake, that there is something wrong with patriarchal law. So this wasn't the argument to use.
Hmm.
But he insisted that they, at 13, were men and that they were, they were a population of people with whom he thought that it was perfectly all right to have sex. Now, I'm going to let you tape this, and you don't, you know, use this part without my permission.
Okay. Don't put it in yet then. Just go ahead and do the whole thing.
Okay.
and then, because we want anything, you know, tacked on to the end.
Okay.
Don't you think that's best?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it doesn't matter if it's...
Well,
don't
put it there. Just save this until later.
Okay. And he kept talking about his rights and his freedoms. And he talked about them as if every effort to protect children in any way at all.
Oh, just a minute, I'm sorry. Hello? Okay, I'm sorry.
He talked about it as if every effort to protect children was not an effort to protect children, but a direct infringement on his personal freedom to have sex with these people.
to have access.
Society called children.
Yeah.
But he sees as men.
Did he say that?
Yeah, he kept saying they were men.
No, but did he?
He kept saying that these were all infringements on his freedom.
Really?
His freedom.
Phew.
And his rights.
Wow.
And yeah, that's the language that he used.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. I don't know, I don't remember what the transition was, but I brought up the point that I thought that the law was upheld, that was upheld, was actually didn't approach the problem fully, because if there's parental consent... Oh, he brought up Mapplethorpe, and he brought up the censorship of Mapplethorpe's pictures of children. Four of the seven pictures that have been indicted are of children.
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen them, so I don't know what they are. But I said that, well, this Supreme Court decision had nothing to do with Mapplethorpe, because the Ohio law that they upheld allowed parents to take these kinds of pictures, and also anybody to take them with parental consent. He said, who would give parental consent to Mapplethorpe? I said, these parents of these children, because he had parental consent.
Uh-huh.
He said he had never met an intelligent person with my point of view. I later told him in a different conversation that was one of the most bizarre things I had ever heard in my life, since I knew a great many intelligent people who had precisely my point of view. He talked a lot about himself, you know, that anybody, any society would do this to him. He put it in the framework of Walt Whitman and being a great poet. In other words, he did not say, I, Allen Ginsberg, am a great poet, therefore you cannot put me in jail. He talked about Whitman's view of America and sexual freedom, and then would we put him in jail. I said to him, what you're saying to me is that you're an exceptional man, and you're not. You're just a man, like all the others, who has no respect for the rights of other people. And he said, no, he wasn't saying that. He thought everybody should be able to do this, not just him. And then later that night at dinner, I basically did not want to talk to him, but he sat with me. And he told John that he took, this is what he said he did to John, that he took photos of 16-year-old boys and then he sucked their cocks. And at some point, the discussion stopped. I mean, you know, John got upset, he got upset, they started screaming at each other, whatever. I intervened.
But did anyone else hear him say that besides John?
I don't know. I don't think so. However, other people, one other person at least, did hear a good part of the rest of it. And that person, poor woman who will never sit next to me anywhere ever again, Barbara Haber, who is the head of the Schlesinger Library for Women at Radcliffe, she sat next to me, and then the part that I wanted to tell you that involved
what?
Me.
Okay, but
she's
no, wait a minute.
She's
is this
most of this?
Okay, but is this the part that you're not sure you would want divulged?
It's the part that has more to do with me.
Okay, now
she heard every. She did not hear what he said to John, but she heard virtually all of the rest of this, except the beginning of it at the hotel when he started talking about the Supreme Court decision. decision.
I see. So she is a witness to this conversation.
Yeah. And okay. He may have repeated himself enough that she heard him say the things that I said at the beginning.
Okay. Now, have you said everything that you want to say with the exception of the thing that you wanted to add in?
Yeah.
Okay. What we can do is you can add that in. There's nothing else you can think of besides that.
There was a tremendous amount of repetition. He left me the packet that I sent to you.
He left that with you? He didn't mail it to you? Got it.
No, he left it at the hotel between the discussion in the morning.
Wow.
And the dinner at night.
Wow.
He left it.
So he had it with him. I wonder if he intended to give it to you.
I would doubt it. I think he probably had lots of copies. But he also did, he did several other things. He also came to the dinner that night with a 3 or 4 page list, I'm not sure because I didn't see it all, of questions that he wanted me to answer.
Oh, yeah.
Tiny little script. And he started to read it to me. The first one was something like, the boy is 18 months minus 1 month.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. And I stopped.
God.
And I said, I'm not interested in this. I don't want to hear this.
What's the possibility he was on amphetamines or something?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know.
Was it that kind of...
Well, he's very, he's very hyper anyway.
Uh-huh.
It's very Gemini, very high energy,
uh-huh.
Very intellectually quick.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know the answer to that,
yeah.
To any of that.
Okay, I just wondered, because
he didn't drink at all.
Uh-huh.
I did.
Yeah, I bet.
I almost never do, but I
do. Okay, now, so what we'll do is you can add in this additional part, and we'll listen
before
to
that,
it.
That, there's just one more thing.
Okay.
When he read me, started to read me these 3 pages or 4 pages, whichever they were. When I stopped him,
he read you all of them?
No, he started to read.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And I said, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to answer it. I said, you can send it to me. And he said, I will. I said, if you turn it into a poem, I'll answer it with a book.
That's great.
He said, I can't read a whole book. So I still haven't gotten it in the mail. I don't know if he will send it to me.
Oh, I hope he does.
I hope so, too.
Now, but he wouldn't give it to you at that time?
No.
Okay, now, if we decide that we do not want to leave this on the tape, we can erase it. Okay, now, well... Okay, it's erased now.
Okay, and now...
We're erasing over it at this time and continuing the conversation.
Okay.
And we've decided to edit it out.
In the evening, he told John that... John asked him, as part of this conversation, how did he know that he wasn't doing harm to the boy? And he said... that you couldn't know, that it was just a chance that you had to take, but that if you were afraid of doing harm, you wouldn't get out of bed in the morning.
Wow.
So that was